Peace Diet Circle. This is our 23rd episode of the World Peace Diet Circle already, which is hard to believe. 23 episodes. Seems like a celebration's in order. We've got a great night ahead here. Special speakers we're going to hear from. Dr. Tuttle will tell you more about that. And as always, your references are in the membership site, so you can just log into the membership site, submit questions there throughout the evening, or it's *2 to raise your hand. And again, your March 2013 references are in there, which we'll refer to later in the call. But let's welcome right now Dr. Will Tuttle.
Great. Thank you, Steve. And it's nice to be with everyone here. Thank you for all of you for joining us. Wow, it's been quite a month, it seems like. Every month has new victories, it seems like, for our cause and new challenges as well. So here we are, March 21st. I think, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the vernal equinox today, or close to it. And it's interesting for Madeline and me now to be in California in March during daylight savings time. So usually this teleconference that we're having seems like it's dark and at night and everything, and now the sun is still high in the sky here. So I want to welcome everyone to the call, and just maybe as we begin, take a moment before we jump into the material and the discussions and so forth to just reflect for a moment on the beauty of this planet. And so I'd just like to invite all of us maybe to connect in our consciousness with each other and with the earth, and give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have of a human birth, a human life here to grow in wisdom and understanding and compassion and loving kindness, and to work on awakening from the consensus trance, and to help to bring a more harmonious world into being, and for the opportunity to contribute our unique gifts that we, each and every one of us, have to bring greater freedom and joy and love and awareness and creativity to our world here, to the situation. And we give thanks for the whole vast array of other human beings who are also dedicated to the same goals and are working hard every minute to help bring freedom and peace and justice and equality more into our world. And we give thanks also to the people who very often we don't think of, the people in the past who have gone before us, who have laid the foundation. And also, I think it's great to thank the people who are coming in the future as well, the children who are going to be inheriting our world, and that we have a responsibility to them. And then, of course, to give thanks for the animals, non-human animals, who not only celebrate their lives here so beautifully and provide us with so much joy and examples, but who suffer so horrendously at our hands, that we may learn to create a context where they are honored and respected, and that day is coming. Inevitably, it must happen. And this is our for sure, I think the most important work that can be done on this planet today is to help not only ourselves awaken from the cultural food trance, but help other people to do the same thing. So I want to thank all of you for the endeavors, the various endeavors and efforts that you're all making. And hopefully we can hear from some of you. Of course, as Steve always reminds us, anyone at any time can press *2 on your phone, and both Steve and I will be able to see that you have your hand raised, so to speak, and would like to say something. So feel free to do that if you have a comment or a question or a concern as we're going along this evening. We typically run for, we say, between an hour and an hour and a half, And we'll see how it goes this evening, of course. And I think there's been really a lot of things happening in this past month that I'd like to talk about. And one of the things I promised our really good friend, Judy Carman, who is the co-founder of the Circle of Compassion and the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, who has gone through the World Peace Life Facilitator training, who is based in Kansas City, or actually in Lawrence, Kansas, and has been working very hard there for many years to help bring a better situation for animals. And she's got a project, the Prayer Flags Project, that I thought it would be great just to hear about here in the beginning a little bit. And then I'd like to go from there into some other things too. But Judy, since you are on the line with us, I can see, I'd like to go ahead and see, I think, can unmute your, yeah, your phone is now unmuted. And
okay.
I was wondering if, hi there.
Hi, Will. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Everybody can hear you. I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about the this project you're doing and how it's going.
Okay. The Prayer Flag Project is something that has just kind of been something in my heart for a long time, and finally we manifested it into an actual flag. And I was inspired by the idea of prayer flags, which... basically, the concept, which is pretty much Tibetan in origin, I believe, is that the flags, they're cloth flags, and they fly all over Tibet, and now more and more people have prayer flags. Generally, they've been considered flags for people, for good luck and happiness and that sort of thing. But they also have a deeper meaning to them, that when they're flying and blowing in the wind and slowly disintegrating because they're made of cloth, that the prayers and the ideas on the flag are blessing the whole earth and all beings in it. And so the flags that I came up with the help of my sister, who's an artist, you can see them at my website, which is peacetoallbeings.com, all spelled out. That's where you can go to see them and order them. They basically, in large letters in the middle, it says, "May all beings live free." And then there's an outline of a, in the corners, there's four animals, one animal in each corner, which is also kind of like Tibetan flags, although they have, I believe, what is it? There's a tiger and dragon and a snow lion in the corners. But what we chose was an elephant to represent animals in entertainment and a dolphin to represent the animals of the sea and a primate to represent animals in labs and a cow to represent the food, the animals that are being used for food. And that, of course, it's not all inclusive, but there's only so much room on a flag. And then we have the prayer around it of just all the concepts that we want to be blowing on the wind: compassion, ahimsa, freedom to live, love, and words like that. And then, of course, the main prayer, may all beings live free. The flags are made by a fourth-generation flag maker in Kathmandu in Nepal, and they're fair trade and 100% cotton. And so we tried to, you know, keep as much conscientiousness in the making of the flags as well. So that's basically the idea of it. of behind the flag in the first place. And then the goal is to get as many people as we can to fly these flags all over the world. And right now we have about 350 flags flying around the world at sanctuaries.
Wow.
And at zoos and various places. So we're hoping to get just more and more and more out there.
Great. And your website again is?
It's peacetoallbeings.com.
Is that T-O or two, number two?
It's T-O. Yeah, all words. And they can be ordered there, and people can communicate with me that way too through the website. And what I really love to do is have people send me pictures of the flags where they're flying them. And so I have a section, a tab on that website that's called Where the Flags Fly. And you can see all the different states where they're flying, and then there's quite a few in Australia, and we need more in Europe and all over the world. But right now, that's mainly where they are, is different states around the country, and we've got flags at, I think, three or four different sanctuaries, too, which is very exciting. And I just got back from the cow sanctuary in New Jersey, and I have not posted my picture yet of the flag flying at the cow sanctuary with a cow trying to lick it. So I'm going to post that very soon. And that was a wonderful trip, by the way. So, yes, I just love the idea of this. There's also an idea that not only do these prayers fly around the world on the wind and bless all beings, but the prayers become a permanent part of the universe, and so that those ideas are constantly being added to as more and more flags fly. Well, and one other thing. I could go on and on, but another part of this for me was, and I forget about this, but for so long I saw all these wonderful flags, but I realized they weren't specifically aimed at animals for them, for freedom and peace for them. And there's lots and lots of flags for world peace for people. And, of course, as we all know, there's been a war being waged against animals for centuries and centuries. And yet when many peace movements talk about peace, they really are talking about peace for people and ending human wars against humans and forgetting about the animals. And so that was actually a big part of it. For me, was that I wanted something for the animals to have that would be their own peace flag or freedom flag. And so that's also a big part of it. And I have a tendency to forget that because I'm just so into this flag and this project. I forget that, oh, yeah, one of the reasons I decided to do this was because animals didn't have their own flags. And now they do.
Right. Great. Well, thank you, Judy, for letting us know about that. I do want to mention, as you were talking, I just went to the website, and maybe other people who are on the call maybe have done the same thing. It's actually your website for some reason is down, but
uh-huh.
But I clicked on a cached version of it, and I can see it. I've seen it before, but
mm-hmm.
So some people can do that. So you can get a nice view of the. Of the prayer flags and the whole idea behind it and so forth. And I'm sure you'll have it up again shortly. It's probably some little thing. But anyway, it is actually at the moment not responding. I just wanted to check.
Changed web hosts. I'll bet that's what the problem is.
Right. Yeah, that's probably what it is. So just make
a call.
But I'm sure we'll,
we'll check on that
shortly.
Yeah. So everybody, please write down, and if you can't find it tonight, go looking for it soon, and order a flag. I'm trying to keep the price down. They're $5 a piece, and I'm trying to keep the price down so that we can get as many out there as we can possibly. Yeah, I'm getting the same thing here. Yeah, I will definitely get that back up online. That'll be my project for tomorrow. Thanks for letting me know, Will.
Great. Yeah, and if anyone has any questions for Judy, feel free, of course, to press star 2 on your phone. And also don't forget, if you're at your computer, you can type in questions, especially people who are maybe listening from outside the country or whatever. You can always do that as well. But it's wonderful, actually, I think, this idea. And it's an example, I think, of the kinds of ideas that all of us can have. You know, we're only limited by our own different, you know, our creative ideas. And I think this is one that contributes significantly to the whole idea of including animals in our compassion, and also when we think of having a world of peace. So thanks so much, Judy, for the peace flag. And we just actually put up a peace pole. You probably heard of a peace pole. We just put up a peace pole here in Northern California, and we have as one of the four languages a bunch of animal tracks that Madeline painted originally. Original animal tracks by Madeline. That's another, there's lots of ways to do these things. All right. I do see someone has their hand up. It looks like Lily. Steve, yeah. Lily, you're live. Do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, I just have a comment. Thank you so much for doing that. It's such a beautiful idea. And I just wanted to give you a little anecdote. In the 70s, I worked for Cleveland Amery, and he had a button called Animal Peace Corps with all these animals on it. And he was, you know, he was a true visionary, but, you know, I never really understood what that button meant until I became a vegan. So thank you and bless you for doing that.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you are, actually.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you to Lily for bringing that up. And, yeah, it's something that when people see the flag or a button like that, it's, you know, it gets people questioning. And hopefully they'll ask us, what does that mean? Why are you flying that flag, you know? Especially if it's in a zoo or someplace like that where animals are involved and it helps people bridge that disconnect. But, yeah, and another thing that you were saying, Will, is it's something that people can do. There's so many things that each of us can do, and we can't do it all by ourselves. And so there's all these little projects like this one that are going on. I mean, thousands and thousands of projects that are just amazing and growing all the time, more and more people coming on board and helping. So we're a huge team, and you know, we're not alone anymore. There's a lot of us doing many, many little things with great love, as Mother Teresa would say.
Right. Thanks, Judy. Thanks so much. And I just also want to mention while you're on the phone, maybe briefly, that Cleveland Amery, for those of you who aren't familiar, that Lily just mentioned, was the founder of the Fund for Animals and Black Beauty Ranch, where I actually visited that in Texas. He was a great animal protector and really animal rights activist back in the 50s and 60s. And
yeah, he was a pioneer.
And a real pioneer. But the other thing, just to mention, any of you who are interested, we have Judy and I specifically have created the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals. That's at circleofcompassion.org. And every day at noon, we say a prayer for animals. We have, I guess, about 700 or 800 people that are members of that. And if any of you would like to be part of that, feel free. It's There's no charge or anything. It's just it's a membership. And we now have a Facebook page. That's a new thing, a Facebook group.
Yep.
So if anyone
would love to have you join.
There, right. We you know, people are offering prayers for animals and doing suggestions and raising consciousness and things from the point of view of transforming our consciousness. I mean, it's good to do outside activism and education and advocacy work. And we also think it's important to do the prayer work or to the idea of prayer here is not so much asking for something. It's more the idea of prayer as understanding the true nature of being, of beingness, and that animals essentially are free, and to affirm that and to understand the truth of that, and that this creates a field of consciousness, of conscious awareness and understanding that will tend to bring material reality into alignment with that. So so that's, I guess, an important point, that we're not seeing prayer sort of in the old-fashioned way of just begging something for something or asking for something, but to understand the truth. This is the true nature, and it's absolutely manifesting more and more. And so feel free, if you'd like to join us on that. Just wanted to mention that, too. Thank you very much, Judy. I appreciate your
time. Oh, thank you, Will, for letting me talk about
this.
Great work
you're doing.
All right.
Right. All right. Okay. And let's see. No other hands up. We have. I also wanted to give have a chance to hear from our friend Megan from Southern California. Megan Kajitani, Pinkus Kajitani, and a few months ago, I think it's a couple of months ago, Megan gave a talk, a TED talk, which I think I put it on here, so hopefully all of you have seen it. It was excellent. It was really great. And she's been doing, and she started something called the Giraffe Project, too. Megan, I was wondering, since I see you are apparently on the line, would you be so kind as to let us hear just a little bit about what you're doing? Because I just think it's very also very inspiring to see what you're doing. And the article you wrote recently about the fish on Huffington Post, I think, was extremely good, too. So, Steve, can we unmute? Or maybe I'll go ahead and unmute. Megan, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me well?
Oh, yes. Great.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I know you're actually part of the World Peace Tide Circle. But you've really, I think, done such an outstanding work in terms of making yourself public there and getting the word out in terms of both in the print and in speaking lately. And it would just be great if you could fill people in a little bit on what you've been doing and how you were able to do that, perhaps. I mean, I know all of us are looking for ways that we can have our voices heard, and so it'd be just great if you could tell us a little bit about that and anything else you'd like to share along the same line.
Well, sure. Well, thank you. So it's great to be here with everyone. I'm usually here just quietly, so it's nice to be talking.
Right.
So I started, basically about a year and a half ago. I've been a writer and an educator. I kind of call myself a freelance writer and freelance educator. I had been a journalist, and I had been an academic for a while, done some teaching. And after I had my first child, I decided to freelance. And I was writing about conscious living and stuff kind of generally. And after I saw Will speak at a Unitarian Universalist Fellowship that I'm a member of, I was so clear that I needed to actually be more specific in what I was writing and teaching, and that conscious living was too broad, and I wanted to get much more specific about the vegan message. So what I did was I took the World Peace Diet Facilitator training, I did the Plant-Based Nutrition Certificate Program through eCornell, and I also took a course for women entrepreneurs, which really helped me kind of thinking about how, okay, I've been writing for all these years and teaching for all these years, but how do I get it out there? How does this social media thing work? And so through that course that I took for women entrepreneurs, at the same time I was fine-tuning my message, I was learning about that. It was really specifically also online entrepreneurs. And I found a web designer through that group, and I started the website, and I came up with the idea of calling it Giraffe Revolution. Giraffe has always been kind of my totem animal, and it is the land animal with the largest heart. And, of course, it's a plant eater, herbivore. So, and I had this, I really wanted it to be a revolution, this idea of changing our thinking and changing our actions. So I launched it as Giraffe Revolution, and it also, so you can go to GiraffeRevolution.com and see it, or you could go to MeganTheVegan.com, because they both go to the same place. And my name actually does rhyme with vegan. It's Megan the Vegan.
Oh, really?
Yes, which was just too good to be true. So, yeah, I've always been Megan. So I haven't always been vegan. But
people say it the same way. They say it wrong the same way.
Right.
Are you a vegan?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm always called Megan. So I thought if I put vegan with it, maybe they'll actually say my name right.
And you'll teach them how to say vegan properly too. So
exactly. So you see on my site, I even put the little line over my E. But so I have both. So kind of, I've been working on this idea of how do I brand kind of my mission of Giraffe Revolution, and then also, not as much, but do I want to brand myself as this Megan the Vegan? And I'm just taking it slowly, one step at a time, really. I don't have a big master plan, but I did apply for and receive one of the seed grants from the World
Peace Project. From the Pollination Project?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, so I thank you for that support. I got one of those, and I'm working on an e-course that I'm going to offer through Giraffe Revolution. And I just continued with the writing I was doing, but got really specific about it being vegan. I had already done some writing for Huffington Post, and I had written for other newspapers and stuff. But what I've noticed, what really has stood out to me, is once I connected with the network of vegan organizations and once I got really clear on my own message, when I put something out, like the TED Talk or this Huffington Post article this week, I get so many more views because I know now where to send it. So I know which Facebook pages to go on and post the link, and I know to ask specifically, I learned also, please like this, please share this. And I found this article this week, which was basically connecting the crisis we have in Southern California of our sea lions basically starving because they don't have enough food supply. And in this article, I make the connection between that and our eating fish as a culture, which is,
yeah,
you know, and it's gotten over 1,000 likes, which is kind of a record.
Great.
For me. that was the most I think I've gotten on anything I've done since this whole online world. But yeah, I mean, that's basically where I am, working on the e-course, doing the writing. I'm doing a little bit of work with the Institute for Humane Education, which is a like-minded nonprofit.
That's so wild in Maine, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did a course with them, too, which I forgot to mention, and now they've been asking me to write for their blog, and they featured my TED Talk on their blog. So I think that I'm getting some of their audience, too. So I'm just still figuring out how it all works, but I'm starting to see the more connections I make, it just sort of organically gets more eyes on it, basically.
Right. And can you say a couple words, perhaps, about whatever it was that helped you, or how you went to get the TED Talk? I mean, is there anything that might be helpful for people who would like to, because I think that's very good exposure. Is there anything that might be helpful for people in terms of getting scheduled for those? Because there's a lot of TED Talks going on now, like locally as well as the big ones, and it might be a good opportunity for people, I think, to get the message out.
Definitely. And I learned that, these TEDx events and what they are, they're privately organized, licensed TED events. So there's the big TED conference that happens once a year in, I think Long Beach or something, and it's thousands of dollars per ticket. You know, it's very exclusive. And so the TED organization started these TEDx conferences where any group can apply for a license to do a TEDx event. And I happened to know some people in my area who were part of a local school, a Montessori school, who were planning a TEDx. And ironically, they wanted my husband to speak, and he ended up speaking. He's an educator. He speaks about math education. And I suggested, you should get a humane educator. And so they said, can you find us one? And I was talking to a guy who is a professor and who runs a nonprofit, trying to get him to speak, but he was going to be out of the country. And somebody said, well, can't you do it? So I kind of fell into it, and I hedged and then said, yes, I can. And so I did, and it turned out really well. It was really a great experience. But what I've learned, too, to advise others is you can look in your area, even just Googling TEDx, or you can go to the TEDx part of the TED.com website and search for TEDx events. And what they'll do is they'll just put out calls for speakers. So you can apply to speak at a TEDx, and there's usually a committee of people who are picking the speakers, and they want a good balance and stuff like that. But I think it is a great opportunity to get this message out. And there were three of us speaking who are vegans, and it's a day-long conference. Yeah, which was really exciting. We had the owner of a natural food chain down here called Jimbo's. And then we had a teenage vegan who was speaking about why she's vegan.
They were actually promoting veganism somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think they meant to, actually. They were kind of surprised, I think, when they realized it, but that's how it worked out. So, and we were near San Diego, so I think there's more vegans around here. But
right. And yeah. did they coach you on your – because I noticed your talk, and a lot of these the talks that I see on TED, they come out really well. I mean, they flow well and all, and I had this feeling that they must give you some coaching or some ideas about how to give your talk. Did they do something like that?
They actually didn't. I think my years of teaching and being on stage and writing all helped. But
they just told you to just do whatever you wanted to do, and they didn't say anything.
Well, they give you the time limit. They gave us the time limit, and they gave us like a sheet. There's like a 10 commandments of TED Talk, so that was helpful. But it was just like a sheet of, you know, I forget what it'd say. You know, keep it simple, not too many visuals, that kind of stuff. But most people, I think, including myself, were just studying other TED Talks. And just looking at what works on the, you know, TED Talks that appeal to us. So I think other TEDx events that are more – this one was pretty small, actually, that I spoke at. Some of them will bring in coaches and stuff. I think they're all quite different. It depends on if it's a school or a big, you know, some cities will put it on. And so those I would think they'd have more coaching and stuff. But also it'd probably be harder to get into those where it was pretty easy to get into this one.
Yeah, right, because it wasn't so big. But the good thing is that they put all the TED Talks up on the Internet, so then all over the world people can see them.
Yes.
Right? You can just do what you did. You can just blast it out to everybody on the Internet that you did this talk, and the people can recommend it to other people and so forth.
Yes, and if you have a website, you can get it on your website, so when people go to your website, they can watch your TED Talk, which builds trust, you know, with your people who come to your site. If they can see you speaking, I think it makes them feel like they know you more.
Right. Excellent. Wow, a lot of great information there, Megan. And Megan, I want to really thank you for joining us on Ropey Side Circle, and looking forward, perhaps we are going to be in San Diego in June, and we had talked a little bit by email about maybe giving a lecture at the Unitarian Church again in June.
Yeah.
So let us know if that's going to work, and maybe people in the area can join us there.
That would be great. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty positive it will. So as soon as we get that space, we'll book it and send it out.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks again for joining us. It's been great talking to you. There is actually a couple of people with hands up, so maybe before you get off, I'll see if...
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Mark, did you have a question or comment related to this? Or?
Hello.
Yeah.
I just would like to say thank you to Megan for her great work. She actually applies for her grant through World Peace Earth. Wonderful to hear all the work that she's doing and to thank her and to congratulate her on receiving the grant and to let other people know that they might like to get in touch with Megan because they get some ideas on how that they might apply for grants and to remind everyone that it's kind of amazing that it actually takes a lot of work to find people to receive a grant a day. So we're actively looking for people right now that are doing great work like Megan to receive grants. So just wanted to put it out there again that if you have an idea and you have a project that you would like to get funded, then please go to the website and World Peace Earth and click on grant and put your application in today.
Yay. Thank you, Mark.
All right. That's a very important point. Yeah, I mean, it's, they're typically $1,000, you know, which is basically a mini grant, but that can go, you know, that can go a long way. And I think, Megan, you said you were creating with it an e-course. Is that about vegan nutrition or vegan lifestyle in general? Or
yeah, I'm kind of trying to take both sides, doing both angles. The first one's going to be more about the nutrition, green drinks and green smoothies, something people can start with. But the goal is to have several that some are really just about lifestyle and some are about eating and kind of spread it around.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Great. Good. You're good. Okay. And let's see. Tara, you actually have your hand up too. So, yes.
Hi. How are you? I just wanted to tell Megan that I watched her TEDx and one of the nicest talks, one of the most dynamic and funny and effective talks I've ever watched, whether it be TEDx or whatever, and just really encourage everybody to watch it. It's very, very nice. And to make sure you watch it all the way through. The way you completed your speech, your talk, was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you so much.
The end of it was the best I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
I my question, was that intentional or was it not intentional?
At the singing part?
No, at the very end. Yes, at the very end. When you said, well, I don't want to give it away, but at the end, did you plan on that way of ending it?
When they clapped and I had to stop them?
Yes.
That
yes.
was not intentional. I mean, I planned, every word was planned, but them clapping at the wrong spot was not planned.
Well, the end of it's very impromptu and just absolutely perfect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Tara. Yeah, that was, I want to second what Tara said. I really hope everybody, if you haven't seen Megan's TED Talk, it is a terrific talk. I mean, it's very, very well delivered and funny and casually, comfortably, I guess. You look very comfortable. And, yeah, I think it's excellent. So, yeah, it's a good one for everyone to see, for sure. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Megan. I really appreciate it.
Well, you made my day.
So.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Good. And let's see. There's a lot of other things happening. I wonder if anyone has, let me see, if anyone, no, I don't see any hands up at the moment, so I'm going to forge ahead here. We have had several different things happening here during the month. Before I go farther, maybe I'll just take a moment and see if, I guess, let me see here. Maybe you can just send me a, Okay. She Veronique wants us to repeat the name of Judy's website. So let me see. So that's Peace, P-A-C-E, to, T-O, all, A-L-L, beings, B-E-I-N-G-S, .com. PeaceToAllBeings.com is the name of Judy's website. And feel free to, it'll be up, I guess, tomorrow. It's just undergoing a repair right now. So that's great. So we have maybe two other people I was thinking would be nice just to hear from if they have something they'd like to share. Mark, do you have anything you'd like to share before we go on? I want to talk about a few things here, but is there anything specifically we should know from your realm besides everyone should apply for a Pollination Project grant? If they want to. Yeah, you're on.
Let's see. Well, just a reminder that registration is just about to be available for the Jubilee Festival, the Peace Festival this year. And it's going to be structured a bit differently so that the sessions can be chosen individually. Someone can come for 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, or they could pick two or three sessions out of the day. So that's a little bit different format than we've had in the past. So that will be up on our website soon. And a lot of great new speakers that are coming and a few surprises because it is our fifth year anniversary. So we're working diligently on that. And looking forward to you coming to Cincinnati on April 13th for the first Veg Fest at the University of Cincinnati. So anybody in this area that would like to see Will and participate in an all-day Veg Fest at UC, that's coming up on April 13th. And it's going to be some great bands playing and vendors and speakers and Will's featured and Doug Kreitzer's band, The Peace, is the featured band. So lots of great vegan food, of course, and we're really looking forward to that event.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, that's good to just be aware of, everyone. The Cincinnati and Mark has been, as everybody knows, leading World Peace Diet study groups in Cincinnati for years, as well as now with Anna putting on for the fifth year now, this year, the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee, and that's in October, what he was just talking about, and now Cincinnati is going to have their 31st Veg Fest, and I'll be flying out for that on April 13th. So it's a great opportunity to bring the vegan message to the masses, and these Veg Fests are terrific. If you have that's one thing that can always be done. We've noticed these Veg Fests springing up like mushrooms in cities all over the country, and they really, it seems like every year they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and a lot of them are getting over 1,000 people, sometimes 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people. So that's another excellent, people love a party, a festival, and if you make it a vegan event, it's a great way to get people to hear more about the message, the vegan message. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your sharing that with us. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for now. Thanks, Will.
Great. All right. Thank you. And actually, I did want to hear, also maybe if we have just a minute from Lily, a little bit more. We were talking the other day on the phone, and I always like to hear I think to me it's very inspiring. One thing that Lily said to me, we were talking about the fact, and maybe I'll talk about this a little bit later, that just this past month, it seems like there's been several sort of high-profile cases, a few of them anyway, well, one in particular, of vegans who saying, I'm not vegan anymore, you know, say, I'm not going to do it anymore, it didn't work for me, I'm out of here, or something like that, I was talking to Lily about it and saying it was this woman that actually we know Alex Jameson. She actually, we gave her a tour of our rolling home a few years ago, and when we were in Cincinnati, she was speaking at the event that Mark puts on there, And she wrote an article saying that she, when she went vegan, she did it for health reasons. And Lily said, oh, she came in through the back door. And I said, what do you mean by that exactly? She said, well, she said, people that become vegan for health reasons, that's coming in the back door. People that come into veganism for environmental reasons, that's coming in the side door. And people who go vegan because of compassion for animals, that's coming in the front door. I just thought that was really a good way to put it, an interesting way to put it anyway. So, Lily, you want to just say, it's just always great to have you on. I don't actually have any specific questions for you exactly. I know you've been hard at it, spreading the message primarily through your conversations with people, and I just thought if you could say perhaps a few words of either advice or words some of your own experiences lately that have been inspirational or instructive. I think it's always good to hear the different ways that we have about spreading the vegan message. So thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Will. I had no idea you were going to call on me, so I didn't prepare any notes or anything for that. But I live it. I live the World Peace Diet every day. As you recall, when I first read the World Peace Diet, I sent you a letter because I'm very low-tech. I'm still not on the Internet, though I plan to be, and I'm out here in the boonies. And I told you that if I spent the rest of my life just telling people about the World Peace Diet on a daily basis, that would be, I would consider that a life well lived. The World Peace Diet is so life changing. It, for me, I read a lot of other books and they're all great. And for me, the World Peace Diet is the one that made me a vegan without even trying. So what I do is, I hadn't planned to be a vegan, but the World Peace Diet just swept my husband and myself away, and we were just swept away by the World Peace Diet. So I when I wake up in the morning, I always give myself the message, today is a day to carry the message. And see, I live way out here, and I'm not in constant contact with people, with lots and lots of people. But I do have one wonderful thing going for me. I am involved with PhoneBridge in 12-step programs, and I started out with eating disorder program, and so I'm a sponsor in that program, and I'm known as Lily the vegan, Megan the vegan. Well, I'm known as Lily the vegan. And in my program, I'm known as Super Vegan, which is great, which is just great because that's what I feel like. For me, being a vegan is like living a superhuman life because it brings forth the textures of life that I can communicate with animals today like I could never communicate with them before. Mm. And I've always been. When I worked for Cleveland Amery, I loved I worked for the animals, but I wasn't a vegan, so I didn't understand what that button meant. World Peace, Animal Peace Corps, that he had a beautiful button. But anyway, I want to say what I do. What I do is I use whatever tools I have, and I think my answer machine, which I have harped on for a long time, is a great tool. I have had so many people call back my number just to get my message. And my message is that this is a sanctuary for the World Peace Diet. My home is a sanctuary. Well, I happen to live out on 40 acres, but it's a sanctuary for the World Peace Diet. And I give the website. I give Will's website. And I can't tell you, it works for me. I was gone. I was away for 3.5, almost 4 weeks. I came back. There were so many hits on my answer machine and people calling back and saying, I'm just calling back to get the website. And to me, that's working for me. I mean, it's not like, the kinds of things that, the gal that's, I forgot the name of the gal you had that wonderful things she's doing on the TEDx thing.
Megan.
Yes. Megan. Well, I just said her name, Megan the Vegan. It's not quite like that, but on a one-on-one level, I don't let people escape. if I have any kind of dealing with anyone on the phone, if in any way a wrong number, I don't care. I am going to ask them if they have a relationship with animals. Of any, you know, if they have pets. I fall into that. I say, do you have pets? Do you like dogs? If they say no, then there's no real opening. But as soon as they say, oh, yes, I love my cat, you know, then I just did that with the Chase person that I talked to yesterday and gave her the website. I mean, I breathe it. I live it. This is me. This is what I live for. This is why I've been spared a few times. I'm sure I've almost been killed many times in my life. This is the reason I'm here. This is the only reason I want to be alive, is to spread the word that what's going on here is wrong. It's wrong. But I can't say it quite like that to them. I tell them to just go to the World Peace Diet, and they'll find out how wrong and horrible it really is, and that this beautiful planet is flowing with blood of innocent victims. And so I don't even want to be here anymore. I really don't. But I'm here. As long as I'm here, I'm going to spread the message with every breath I take. And that's what I do. I mean, one of the gals I sponsor just wrote a whole thing about, oh, my sponsor, Lily, the super vegan. I mean, and the reason she has become, she came in the back door. She came in for her own health reasons. But then she left veganism, and she came in again when she found out that there was someone that could help her. And I coach people how to eat very simply, keep their weight down, because you can become a fat vegan. I mean, it's not a ticket to being thin. I gained weight at first as a vegan because I didn't understand. So I coach people how to do that, and I don't make money at it. It's just what I live for. It's what I breathe it. I live it. My prayer every day is just make me an instrument of this cause, of this cause of peace, because it ultimately that is the cause. When, you know, St. Francis said the prayer for peace, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. This is it. If we can spread the message of veganism, and especially through the World Peace Diet, I mean, with all due respect, that the World Peace Diet is like a finely cut diamond, and it covers every facet of why people should go vegan. So, I don't know. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm doing it with the phone. I'm doing it with people. I'm doing it on PhoneBridge. And I want to start a PhoneBridge that studies the World Peace Diet. That's what I want, because PhoneBridge is very powerful. I have people calling me from all over the world now. And it's not exactly the same as the internet, because you get that personal touch, the
right.
Human voice, and that personal touch. Email is great and all that, but to be involved in discussion on a phone bridge is very, very powerful. So I'm wondering if there is such a thing as a grant for a phone bridge. I don't know how to put myself in a position to have a phone bridge. But I have about 20 to 30 people in my program now that are ready to have a World Peace Diet phone bridge. So I'm putting
it out. Okay, we can look
there.
Into that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
We have Tara has her hand up. Do you have a Tara, do you have something for Lily? Or go ahead, you're on. Tara? Hello? You there?
Oh. I'm there. I'm here also. Lily, I wanted to tell you that, one of the most powerful, can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Tara.
Okay. One of the most powerful messages I've ever heard and could really, really relate to was when you spoke of the correlation between animal slaughter and the Holocaust and genocide. And if there was ever any reason for you to write about that or to create a YouTube video, I would love to support you in doing that some way, because the message is so important and so powerful.
Thank you, Tara. And, you know, my parents went through that. My parents were Holocaust survivors, and They still don't, I still have my dad. My mom passed away 3 years ago, but they still didn't understand the correlation when I became vegan. This is my seventh year of being vegan. They said, oh, how can you compare a chicken to your grandmother and grandfather who were killed? And I said, how can I not compare it? And yes, I am working on that, believe it or not. I'm doing a very low-tech job. But Will is my inspiration. He wrote the World Peace Diet by hand, and he didn't type it out on a computer. And when I heard that, I said, oh, good. And I am. I absolutely, Tara, I'd love to be in touch with you. That people don't understand that we are one. We are all part of the same process, and that what you do to one, you do to everyone. They still don't understand it because most of the world doesn't get it. And I'm brokenhearted. My heart is broken.
Yeah,
it is. And you know, that's okay, because I believe I have a higher power that heals me every day from this broken heart, and I just keep on going. Because it's the only, as I say, I don't want to do anything with my life but spread the message. And I actually will go high-tech eventually. But, I love hearing Megan, you know, getting all that publicity for veganism. It's beautiful. It's so important, and it's what I want. So thank you very much for that, Tara. You're absolutely right. And actually, in United Poultry Concerns, there are actually videos, and there's a book. I think it's called An Egg, a Chicken, and the Holocaust, something like that. And I want to get that book because it's already. And Isaac Bashevis Singer was a vegan, and he, you know, he would go to dinner, and they would say, oh, you know, are you allergic? I can't remember what he said, but
They would say, are you vegetarian for your health? And he said, I'm vegetarian for the health of the chicken.
Yeah, right. I mean, yes, I'm vegetarian for health reasons, the health of the chicken.
Right.
And one more thing I want to add that we do ongoing. Is the first time we read the World Peace Diet, it blew us away. Actually, the first chapter blew us away, and then we became vegan. The second time we read it, we didn't realize how much we had missed. Now we are reading 2 to 3 paragraphs a day, and we are on the third reading sometimes only one paragraph a day, and then we go into our prayers for Will and Madeline and for the animals and for all the people that make it possible for us to be vegan. And what we're getting by reading it this slowly is we don't feel like we've even read the book yet. It's like we're it's just so deep. And I cannot recommend that too highly. Reading 1 to 2 paragraphs of the world, reading it very, very slowly, because really, like the most important books in the world, and my husband and I believe that it is the most important book, because the other books are not about the whole world, and this book is. It includes everyone. It doesn't leave anyone out. I lost my train of thought. Like the most important books of the world, it needs to be studied, and it needs to be studied slowly and digest. I mean, I'm reading about Louisa May Alcott right now. We're at the end of our third reading. And I didn't realize that this beautiful author who I read Little Women would say the things that she said. You know, I didn't know she was an enlightened being on that magnitude. And so I go around underlining the things that just pop out at me. And then whatever I happen to be reading, I'll share it with someone. Louisa May Alcott wrote, "Vegetable diet and sweet repose, animal food and nightmare. Pluck your body from the orchard. Do not snatch it from the shambles of the slaughterhouse." She was enlightened, and who knew? And it brings tears to my eyes. And I will. That's another form of. I'll just be reading the World Peace Diet, whatever I'm reading, if anybody calls me, and a lot of people do, I'll immediately read something that I've underlined. Immediately. You know, it's like, hi, listen to this. This is news. And I love it. I just love it. It's empowering because people will call me and say, I ordered the book, I'm reading the book, I'm vegan now, what do I do now? And it's such so hands-on. It's just, I just love it. I just absolutely love it.
Thank you. We have a person with their hand up from San Jose area, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Hi, yes. So my name is Jacqueline. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Lily, you are so dedicated and passionate, and you have already accomplished so much. And I really appreciate everything that you've shared with us. I'm just blown away by it.
Oh, thank you, Jacqueline. I'm blown away by it, too. I really am.
Now,
it's an honor. It is such an honor to be one of Will Tuttle's friends and to be with all of you. We are on a very important God-given mission.
Mm.
We really are, and it's you cannot say enough about it. It's the most important thing that you can do with your life is to spread this message.
Oh yes. Well, now I have a proposition for the issue about coaching has come up a couple of times, and I'm sorry. Let me apologize first of all. I don't know what the TED Talks are. I was waiting for somebody to ask, but I've missed so many of the calls. So if somebody could bring me up to speed and tell me what the TED Talks are, TED, I'm not sure.
Oh, they're basically, I don't know what TED exactly stands for, but they're lectures that are given that they started out being very high-end, very expensive to attend, and the most, you know, well-known authorities in the world on various subjects would gather once a year and they'd give these talks, and people who had a lot of money would go and listen. And and then they would put them on the Internet, and people could watch them, and it just sort of exploded. It became so popular to have these great lectures, and so they're now giving them in cities all over the world, actually, and recording them and putting them up on the Internet. And there's all, you know, it's just all like the most cutting-edge, most important. You know, the motto is ideas worth sharing. You know, if you have an idea worth sharing, you know, get on, give it at a TED Talk. And so it's an organization that puts them on, but it's I don't know, I'm not an expert, but it seems to be pretty grassroots in the sense that people can apply and say, I want to give a talk about this and so forth. So that's what they are.
Well, okay. I had mentioned I have a proposition because I am actually going through training now in the QSCA. I'm very proud of my association with Quantum Success Coaching Academy. And I am actually, I'm training for certification now as a Quantum Success Law of Attraction Coach. Now, I'm feeling very strongly since my background is an animal rights activist and I've kind of come up butting heads against, there's all sorts of resistance. We wave our signs, we do our picketing, we sign our CARE 2 petitions, and yet, you know, there's still wild horses and Mustangs that are slated for slaughter. That's just in New Mexico and Oklahoma. There's two bills that are just like on the verge of being passed in Oklahoma. And just today I sent out an email to my animal rights advocates friends saying, hey, look at what's happening now. This is imminent. We've got to let that governor know, the Oklahoma governor, I forget her name, a woman, that, you know, it's in her hands now. Well, at any rate, it's passed committee and these two bills are up for consideration. And at the same time, and this really has me very concerned, that's in Oklahoma. At the same time, in New Mexico, there's a woman now. She has the opportunity to put forth an executive order to ban horse slaughter in New Mexico. And she says she's against it, but we have to all, you know, keep our fingers crossed saying, oh, will she make the right decision? Oh, well, we got to send in more petitions. And I've sent out so many CARE 2 petitions, or I've signed other people's, and yet unfortunately, you know, these problems are still baby harp seals still being slaughtered, and the Taiji Japan, the dolphins
right.
and elephants being, you know, and oh my God, Nosy the elephant is still being brutalized by. So a mother bear has to kill herself and her cub to avoid the biling, being
right.
for bile. I'm very much aware of all this. I'm totally into email, and I see so much. And I feel like here we are, we're running around, you know, and trying this, like going through the same motions, very sincerely, of course, and it does some good. But I think we have to stop and take and pause and realize that the power of prayer has come up so many times, and the law of attraction. What I want to do is I want to merge the two, and I want to find a way. There's so many ways people use law of attraction to attract money, their soulmates, and this and that. I want to use law of attraction in finding a way to help animal rights advocates all over the world to empower them on a spiritual level and a very wide scale. And a prayer circle is a big part of this, but even greater than that, so that all these efforts toward, you know, legislative efforts will still continue, but will be fortified by a very intense spiritual, higher than you could ever, you know, higher consciousness, everything for the sake of all beings everywhere, for the highest good, as I put it. It's for the highest good of all concerned and the harm of none, according to the universal law of oneness, which means we are one life. And where there's hurt in one area, you know, one being elephant in Africa, dolphins in Taiji, Japan, I mean, wherever, we all are hurt by it. But I think with the law of attraction, people can be focused into, you know, I can bring this to fruition. I can actually build a vision for myself and then create visions with all other people all over the world. So that it could very well be that we can, through this, I'm using, you know, just the principles of law of attraction, and the art of allowance, and the law of the third one is the law of deliberate creation, to alleviate the suffering, the pain and suffering all over the world. But this is, it's like it could be a mass experiment. Nothing like this has ever been attempted before, specifically with the law of attraction. So this is what I'm endeavoring.
I think it's a very interesting, and maybe if you can write something or put something
sure.
together, it goes along, I think, very much with the World Peace Diet, in the sense of we're working on education at the deepest possible level, where we're understanding the cultural program, freeing ourselves from it, and then not being trapped by it anymore, and coming from the point of view that what we are and what all animals are celebrations of life, and that what we are essentially is eternal. And I think if we if we're able to do it in a way that, as you're saying, that resonates with enough people, that it's a great idea. You know, it has to be. You know, I think it's good to write it down, and then we can, you know, maybe you can get a pollination grant.
I wasn't even thinking of getting a grant.
Forward, but
you know? Talking about a monumental shift in consciousness. So I already have
right.
part of this written. I haven't put together a formal proposal, but I'm going to work on it and say exactly what my vision is of this this monumental shift in consciousness all over the world and peace
right.
for all beings, and how we can actually manifest that such that we don't have to rely solely upon picketing and legislation, although that will continue, but it will be spiritually fortified, and then the results will be so much vastly improved beyond what we could ever hope for. This is my vision. So.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing. I want to thank you so much, Jacqueline, and I want to thank you, Lily, also. I think our hearts are full. It's been very, very touching to have. Thank you, Lily, for sharing so beautifully, and thank you, Jacqueline, as well.
Thank you. It's an honor, Will. It's just an honor to be a part of your group. Thank you.
It is. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, Will. This is Jacqueline again. I'm just so grateful. I wish we could do this more than once a month, actually.
Well, we do have the World Peace Diet Facebook group. We do have the World Peace Diet Circle. Discussion boards, which I really want to encourage everyone to discuss there. But I think once a month is for this particular format is the best, because we did try it twice a month for a while, but it seemed to be like a little bit too much for everybody, so we went back to once a month. And we can certainly be in touch with each other through these various ways online, and share each other's email addresses and phone numbers. That's always possible to be. I'm talking about the community forums. That's what I was looking for, the community forums. We can always have discussions there, which are that's part of the Whoopi Side Circle. And we have also a Facebook group as well. And whatever we can do, I think it's fantastic, though. And where there's a will, and I mean the will, not just me, but the will, the willingness, there's definitely a way that can open up. And Steve and I actually are, Steve has been really doing great work with the Vegworld magazine, which is another forum that's bringing the vegan message to huge new masses of people. Primarily, obviously, through the internet, and we also are planning again to do Veganpalooza 2013, which was a terrific success. Last year, we had about 12,000 people registered, making it the largest vegan event, at least the largest vegan event online, I think, ever in history. And we're planning again to do it. And I was wondering if people are. Any of you who are listening would be willing to help us maybe get celebrities lined up. It takes a few hours, it seems like, to track down contact information for some of these people, like Woody Harrelson, Michael Franti, Russell Simmons, Mike Tyson, Daryl Hannah, James Cameron. We've got a number of them we'd like to be able to have. I've got a list. If any of you who are listening now know, you have a connection with someone who's considered a celebrity, either a musician or a movie star type person who's vegan, or an athlete who's vegan, like Scott Jurek or Brendan Brazier, there's a few that we would really like to get. Let us know. Maybe Steve and I can send out a list of ones we've thought of, but it would be nice to have a few really well-known people beyond Veganpalooza, besides the great chefs and nutritionists and activists and philosophers. We're also going to be having educators of various kinds who are all vegan. But the celebrities are the tough ones, because it's hard to actually connect with them. So if anybody has any suggestions, or if there's one that you'd just love, if you just love to work on getting Paul McCartney to be on Veganpalooza, you have our blessing to help out with that, because that would be a real help. Steve, do you want to add anything to that at all? Or?
I know we're getting some help from Pamela. I saw her hand went up. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Pamela, did you want to mention something about that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Daryl Hannah, I sent an email to her manager, and he was fairly open to it. And Woody Harrelson is actually filming during that time, so Woody Harrelson's out of the picture. Okay. And Jason Mraz, I've got a snail mail, so I sent him a message just in a handwritten letter. Paul McCartney, I tried to get through to him. Maybe somebody else will have better luck, but I reached somebody, and they said, we don't manage him anymore, so don't call us, basically.
Right. Well, thank you. Thanks so much for those efforts, Pamela.
Yeah.
If anyone else would like to help out with that a little bit, that would be great. I want to mention everybody, too. It's on the sheet, but Pamela has created a terrific 10-minute meditation on mindful eating and relaxation bringing in the underlying message, I think, of harmony and veganism. So it's available, it's online, and I have a link to that. Thanks, Pamela.
Yeah.
Really appreciate what you're doing. Yeah. Fantastic. Great. Let's see. So, Steve, is there anything else you'd like to mention about the Veg World or the Evolved Palooza coming up or anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a few things. I mean, you brought it up before a little bit, but the idea about veganism and some people going back to eating meat, then on the one hand, you see some of this mainstream exposure by people like Justin Timberlake on Saturday Night Live doing a song all about going vegan and converting a sausage butcher and talking about the animals and the audience applauding, which I thought was pretty phenomenal.
Exactly. That was great. And I hope everybody's aware of that, what we're talking about, because I think that was really incredible. There's a link here. I think I have a link in the notes. Hopefully I do. If not, I'll have it on next time. You can watch that. I just showed it to Madeline last night, and she thought it was terrific. Did you want to say more about that, Steve?
And then it just kind of led to the idea that even in the raw vegan world, that I had an email just yesterday about three prominent raw vegan people, bloggers, that are now blogging about eating meat again and just finding it really disturbing. I mean, for me, I got into it 9 years ago with a show called Raw Vegan Radio, but I came at it through the front door because I was already an animal rights vegan. Health, I mean, I think I connected the dots all around with the planet and health, but the intention of that show was not only to educate that you can be healthier, but to really try to connect the dots for people following a raw vegan diet and get the full picture, because I noticed from the beginning that people like Victoria Botenko, who is from a group called The Raw Family, and they have a bunch of books out, but they would never really get the connection, and they would all use honey and things like that, and they didn't really ever seem to get it. They just kind of took on the raw vegan words, and then there was a trend that started to shift, and I noticed that. It's kind of what made me want to pull away more from doing raw vegan radio when I was going to conferences like the Longevity Conference put on by David Wolf. And he would have speakers there like Daniel Vitalis or chef called Frank Giglio, and they were recommending animal products and raw meat and all these things. And then I'm seeing a shift in the whole movement of people that are grabbing at these things and people that I thought really got it and didn't. And I found that really discouraging. It kind of led to the work that you and I were doing at the same time, and then Vegan Palooza and now Veg World Magazine. And I still have Raw Vegan Radio. I plan on doing a final episode of that and kind of letting it go. But it doesn't mean I don't want to educate that community. We're still going to do a Raw Palooza event where we try to get this message out. I'm just kind of gravitating away from it because I don't like the trend I'm seeing there.
Right. Yeah, maybe we could talk a little bit about that, because I think it's important. That's one of the main things that's happened, I think, in the last month. Was I mentioned Alex Jameson, and I wrote a blog saying the title of it was I'm Not Vegan Anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote an article in response to that, which has gotten quite a lot of exposure. It's all over the Internet, I've noticed. And causing quite a bit of discussion, which I think is good. And basically, I hope you've all had a chance to read it. If not, it's on the resources guide, but it focuses on the idea of, let's get back to what veganism is. The motivation is the key to what veganism is. The motivation is compassion for animals. That John Donald Watson, who created the word vegan, put that in the definition. And when we understand that, we don't say we're vegan for health reasons, because that's not really the reason. And I mentioned in the article just briefly that I think in the raw movement, especially, there were a lot of people coming to it primarily for health reasons. And so I think for that reason, we've seen more people who aren't really loyal to veganism. They're loyal to their health and to the raw, and to being raw. And then saying, well, it just didn't work for me, so I'm going to incorporate, like you were saying, Steve, raw eggs or raw milk or raw cheese or raw meat or just going back to eating, a regular omnivorous diet. And so it seems like part of our work to do as vegan educators is really to remember that when someone goes vegan, they very often it's tenuous. It's a tenuous thing for a lot of people. And, you know, sometimes people have said to me, well, you know, if you give a lecture here, you're going to be mostly preaching to the choir. And the underlying implication of that is, well, it's not really worth your time to preach to the choir. It's not really worth your time to share the ideas in the World Peace Diet, for example, with people who are already vegetarian or who are already vegan. And I have realized that it's very much worth our time, because a lot of people who are vegetarians and even people who are vegan are under enormous pressures from their spouses or their doctors or just their own, you know, habits, and from people at work and so forth, to go back to eating animal foods again. It's so much pressure in terms of fitting in socially, and in terms perhaps of health professional thing. You need to have such and such. And I have found that not only are regular medical doctors woefully ignorant about nutrition, but alternative health practitioners are, I think I've said this before, are as bad or very often worse in terms of their understanding. And so it's really important, I think, for all of us, wherever we are in the path here, to encourage each other and to educate even people who are already vegans. There's still an awful lot we can learn. And I still feel like I'm learning every single day and deepening my understanding of what veganism actually is, and about all the different areas that this touches, the environmental areas, the nutrition areas, the social justice areas, and what's happening politically, what's actually happening to animals. You know, it's really, I think, helpful to be aware of the trends and the movement. This is a living thing, as Lily said, and as Jacqueline said. There's this is not just intellectual stuff. This is very visceral. I mean, to read actually Megan's recent piece that she wrote in the Huffington Post about fish eating. She talks about how she went, took her daughter to the ocean, where they saw little baby seals whose bones were protruding, and they were so weak, they were starving to death, and they were just dying in the water, or could barely drag themselves up onto the rocks because their mothers are starving, because there's no fish left, and there's trawlers out there. They can see that it was these gigantic nets that are bringing up all the fish, and there's nothing left for the mammals who depend on fish for food and for other fish. I mean, we're absolutely, utterly devastating the oceans, the rainforests, the ecosystems, and our own health and our own minds and spirituality, obviously, too, through this whole thing. And anyone who's, from my point of view, who's talking about health and world peace and social justice and so forth, and they're not including this as the foundation of their argument, they're missing the most important thing. And we shouldn't be allowing people to get away with that. I mean, we need to bring this into the conversation that we're having as a culture. And so I think the underlying idea here is to realize that there is going to be an enormous pushback, you know, and we don't know. I mean, I would have to say, too, that we don't know who these people are who say they were former, they're former vegans. We don't know really who they are, how deep their commitment actually was in the beginning, what kind of forces they were subjected to. And I wouldn't be surprised on top of it if the meat and dairy industries perhaps don't pay people to go vegan for a year or two and make a big splash, and then actually say, oh, I'm not vegan anymore, it didn't work for me, you know, and write an article that gets a huge amount of hits. Because as John McDougall says, and I think it's very true, he says, people love good news about their bad habits. And I've seen when a vegan says, oh, this didn't work, and how the people who are non-vegan we'll have to spread that message around and say, yep, see, told you so, you know, veganism doesn't work. And we have absolutely, you know, millions of people successfully being vegans, and yet you have one or two that say it didn't work for them for whatever reason, and of course that gets very, gets enormous exposure. And this is part of the basic pushbacks, but that's why I think Jacqueline is a good point, that, and Lily too, and Judy, we've actually all been talking about this, the idea of raising consciousness. But I still obviously think that education is enormously important, that we educate ourselves and that we find ways to spread these ideas, you know, actually physically as well, through radio, through lectures, through writing, through blogs, whatever, through talking to people on the phone, and through putting it on the answering machine. And I think it is very important for us to take time every day to deepen our connection, not only with our own inner wisdom, taking time to be quiet and connect with the spiritual dimension of ourselves, however we do that for ourselves, but also to take time to keep connected to other people, to the communities that we live in, and to bring the message as best we can and be part of that. And I love to see what Megan's doing, what Judy's doing, what Steve is doing. You know, the communities that we're in are not only physical where we're living, but also now with the internet, we're connecting with communities that way that are really beyond local. However, I still think it's good to do local work as well. That's why as we travel, or now that we're more in Northern California, we're doing both. But I think it's very important for us to, more than ever, to not only support each other, but to make sure we're getting the support we need, that so that our vegan lifestyle is healthy for us. And I think it is very important for us to understand the energy of foods and proper vegan nutrition, so forth, as well, so that we really have plenty of energy. And I don't think it's that complicated. I think it's pretty basic. But I think also, I will say, there are a lot of people, you know, the more things are complicated, the more people will try to make money on it. And there's a lot of people who are needlessly complicating the whole thing so that they can sell more supplements and so forth. And so I think it's important to realize that plant-based nutrition is relatively simple and straightforward. There are a few things you need to know. Janice Stanger, who we have on our program, is excellent in this as well. So I know I'm feeling like we're getting pretty much close to the end of our time here. It's been about an hour and a half, and I don't want to keep everybody on here. I know it's 10:30 in the Eastern time zone. So I want to just, again, thank everyone for the efforts you're making. As I said in the beginning, Steve, thanks so much for all of the work you're doing to not only coordinate what we're doing here with the World Peace Diet trainings, and don't forget, you know, we have the World Peace Diet Mastery Program, the facilitator training. If you have friends that are interested in going deeper with veganism, please let them know about this program. We also have the World Peace Diet Circle, but now we're allowing people to join that independently, so people can just be with us on this once a month call and be on the forums and interact that way, and to build the community, vegan community where we are, not only locally but also here online, and through these trainings and through Veg World Magazine, and all of the Pollination Project, and Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, and all the other things that I know all of you are focusing on. We do have one of the World Peace Diet facilitators named Teresa has started something. If you go to the World Peace Diet facilitators Facebook group, she has it there, and maybe I'll send an email to everyone, but she wants to compile a list of everyone who's a World Peace Diet facilitator. We've got over 200 now. Of us who have gone through the training. If you have a blog or a website, to let her know so we can see each other's blogs and websites and be connected that way. I think it's a great idea. So these are all things that we can work on. And also, I noticed Steve has his hand up. Yeah, Steve, you want to mention something else?
And just one last thing about Veg World Magazine, because if anyone in the group hasn't seen it yet, if you go to vegworldmag.com, we've got a free issue right there. You just click on it and you can view it. If you're on an iPad, an iPhone, on your desktop or laptop or Android, just go to the website vegworldmag.com, and you'll see on the right side the cover with Brad Pitt. Just click that, and you'll get a taste of the magazine for free. So I just want to let everyone know about that.
Great, Steve. Thank you. I'll mention a few things here just briefly, just verbally, although you can read it in the resources, but just at the beginning. Besides the article that I wrote, I'm going to be presenting for the first time a four-evening Gopi-style facilitator training here in Petaluma. It's going to start on Tuesday, March 26th, and be every other Tuesday for 4 weeks. So if you know anybody in Northern California that would like to go more deeply into the training and the World Peace Diet, we have that coming up in Petaluma on four Tuesdays. Also, we have a veganism and spirituality retreat in Malibu on June 1st. I'll be the keynote presenter for that. And also in Philadelphia, veganism and spirituality retreat there in July. It's going to be on July 20th, if anyone's in the East Coast. Also, there's a great article with a list of long-term vegans. It's very inspirational to see that, and I want to draw attention to that, and as well as I mentioned earlier, the new Facebook group for the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, and then some really incredible articles here. I highly recommend Dr. McDougall's video on pregnancy and children. It's really well done. And there's more information about the Pollination Project. Philip Wallen has given a TED Talk on animal rights, which is excellent. And then if you just go through this, really, this great video of these people in Los Angeles who are producing 6,000 pounds of food every year of vegetables and fruits from one-tenth of an acre. They just have a little suburban, tiny little plot of land in L.A. and are producing 6,000 pounds of food. I mean, we can feed the planet on a fraction of the land, and it's just we've got to get this understanding out to more people. So very fascinating, all these articles. The whole vegan movement is just – it's exploding, and it's growing, and we're going to see pushback. We're going to see people saying, oh, yeah, I had problems. But I think the most important thing is for us to be mindful, to keep putting the word forth, and to tap into the higher wisdom within ourselves to bring forth the next level of activism. And I like everything people have been saying. I think there's a higher level of activism beyond just fighting and protesting, and that's the confident, spiritual, transformational approach where we are living veganism so deeply that just by our presence, we are able to bring the message to people in a way that they remember. In this recent article, I talked about that we're all post-vegans, that everyone is a post-vegan, that if we go to our roots, we're all actually vegans. And somehow through our cultural indoctrination, we have been forced to forget what we know in our bones. And so what veganism is remembering something that is nagging in the back of our mind and helping, encouraging other people to remember and to really remember. So I see, let's see, Lily, do you have one last thing you'd like to mention?
Oh, dear.
No, you good?
Hello? Will? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, it was way back in, earlier in the discussion, and it was about Paul McCartney. I don't think he's a vegan. I don't think he's one of us. I mean, I saw recipes for his cookbook, and it includes a lot of cheese. So
okay,
I didn't know that. I always thought because of Linda that he was a vegan.
Yeah.
But he just came out with this book, and they published two of the recipes, and it broke my heart.
Okay.
It broke my heart.
Okay.
He's not a vegan. So I think unless it was fake Gruyere cheese, but they didn't say that. And they use,
right,
you know, a lot of animal things, eggs, too. So he's not a vegan.
Right.
I just wanted to put that out there in case people
right.
are – I was under a misconception right. also. Okay.
Right.
Thank you so much,
thanks,
Will.
Lily. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So I think we're really – it's time to wrap it up here. So remember that we have our next World Peace Diet Circle. In April, it'll be the third Thursday in April, falls on the 18th of April, and we'd love to stay in touch in between times. There's a lot happening. Let's feel free to obviously to visit the community forums and discussions there. We have a World Peace Diet Facebook group as well as a World Peace Diet Facilitator Facebook group, and so there's plenty of ways that way. Email me if you'd like to get anybody's phone number that you think I have. I'm happy if you want to be in touch with Lily. I'm sure she'd be happy to be in touch with you if you need her number or anybody else if I happen to have it or whatever. I think it's important for us to be able to communicate. And I'll close here with this just a brief reading of the Buddhist Metta Sutra. I won't read the whole thing, but just this one little bit. May everyone be happy and safe, and may all hearts be filled with joy. May all beings live in security and in peace. Beings who are frail or strong, tall or short, big or small, invisible or visible, near or far away, already born or yet to be born, may all of them dwell in perfect tranquility. Let no one do harm to anyone. Let no one put the life of anyone in danger. Let no one out of anger or ill will wish anyone any harm. Just as a mother loves and protects her only child at the risk of her own life, cultivates boundless love to offer to all beings in the entire cosmos. Let our boundless love pervade the whole universe, above, below, and across. Our love will know no obstacles. Our heart will be absolutely free from hatred and enmity, whether standing, walking, sitting, or lying down. As long as we are awake, we should maintain this mindfulness of love in our own heart. This is the noblest way of living, free from wrong views, greed, and sensual desires, living in beauty and realizing perfect understanding. Those who practice boundless love will certainly transcend birth and death. Well, I wasn't going to read the whole thing, but I couldn't stop. Thank you very much, all of you. Our love goes with you. Madeline and I send you our love, and I know Steve does as well. And we really appreciate the efforts that you're making. And let's just know that the momentum is building. More and more people are going vegan. The evidence is that this is a transformation that is definitely growing, and I believe it's ultimately unstoppable. And our job is to find our way and to plug in and to offer our unique gift in this. So let's stay in touch, and much love to you all for the next month, and we'll see you in April. Bless you all, and thanks so much, and good night.